Hello, and welcome to this podcast. In case you've just found it, I'm Cindy Pierce, and several years ago I started a Bible study about the women in the Bible. Each week I would read the story of a woman straight from the Bible with some thoughts about the story. Then we would talk about some of her characteristics and how they could be applied to our lives or lessons to be learned in the story. I love doing that study, and I was so excited about it that other women from work wanted to participate, and I ended up doing two or three groups several times a week. At the encouragement of some of those ladies, I started recording them, and this podcast was born. For this episode, I will read the story from the Bible with some background. I use the New American Standard because that's what I grew up reading. One of the things I love about the study is that God's Word says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So I believe that as you listen or study along, that God will speak to your heart. I hope you enjoy this as much as I have. This is the fourth episode in the New Testament. There are 16 women from the Old Testament on previous episodes. They're all available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Today, let's read about Mary Magdalene. So Mary Magdalene, like Mary and Martha, I thought when we started was going to have lots of verses in a gospel about her whole story. And actually, she's got one verse, and we'll read that one first in Luke 8:2, where we first meet her. And then the rest of the Gospels, all four talk about her, but they start at the cross, at the time of Jesus' crucifixion, and then also the resurrection. So we are going to start in Luke 8, verse 2, where we meet Mary Magdalene. And she is one of the women. So it says, I'm going to do 8:1 because Jesus has started his ministry here, and it says he came about soon afterwards that he, Jesus, began going from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, the 12 disciples. Verse 2 says, also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. So Mary, it says here, the first time we meet her, is called Magdalene, probably partly because there were so many Marys. Like, we've already talked about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We've already talked about Mary and Martha, who were friends of Jesus. And there are several other Marys mentioned in these verses. So it says that she was called that, I'm sure partly just to differentiate her. And secondly, they called her that because she came from the city of Magdala, which was a seaport city on the Sea of Galilee. So this is where we first meet her, and that is really all that it says about her there. The next time we see her is actually at the crucifixion. So she travels with Jesus and the disciples. She helps when she can. She is in the group of women when they're mentioned, but there's no other specific story other than telling us that Jesus healed her, delivered her from these spirits. So the next time we see her is in John 19:25, and it says, therefore the soldiers did these things. They're talking about the actual crucifixion and casting lots for his clothes. And it says, but there were standing by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And then the next couple of verses talk about how Jesus says to John to watch out for his mother, and he makes that has that conversation with John and his mother, and Mary Magdalene is standing there with his mother when this happens. The next time, I'm just chronologically, Matthew 27 and Mark 15 tell basically the same story. So Matthew 27:56 says, I'm going to back up one verse to 54, two verses, and says, the centurion over who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, truly, this was the Son of God. So the crucifixion has happened. Jesus has yielded up his spirit. The veil of the temple was torn. The earthquake happened and the tombs were opened. And in verse 55, it says, many women were there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him or waiting on him, among whom was Mary Magdalene, along with Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Now the next part says that when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate, asked for the body of Jesus, and Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. Verse 61 says, Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, sitting opposite the grave. So they were watching the whole time to see what was going to happen, what was going to happen to his body. They wanted to prepare it properly for burial. And so they had been watching out for this to take place to see where his body was going to be put. Mark 15, verses 40 through 47 tell the same story, that there were women at a distance looking on, and it lists her as well as the other Mary and Salome. And it says in verse 41 of Mark 15 that when Jesus was in Galilee, they used to follow him and minister to him. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. So there was a little group of women here watching, waiting to see what was going to happen. I'm sure weeping. It was a horribly traumatic scene, and I'm sure that it was very difficult to watch, especially for them, because they believed that Jesus was the Son of God and loved him so much. Mark, in the same place where we are, 16 verse 1 says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. So they're going out and getting spices to prepare his body, to anoint him for burial. We're going to go now back to Luke. I'm kind of combining all the verses about Mary Magdalene, because we get a little bit more detail in each part of it. And that's true because all four Gospels were written by four different people, and from different perspectives. Luke was a doctor, and so he has a different perspective than the other three. Mark and Matthew's were very similar, just on chronological timing. And John's Gospel is going to be interesting because we're going to get a more detailed account of the resurrection there. So, and I'll tell you why when we get to that one. So we are back in Luke in chapter 23. Again, the crucifixion has happened. Jesus has been buried, and he's been wrapped in a linen cloth and laid in a tomb cut into the rock where no one has ever lain, in verse 53. And in verse 54 it says, and it was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Verse 55 says, now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed after, saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. And I just recently saw that verse and thought, how interesting. Because all their life, they had obeyed the Sabbath and obeyed the commandments that were from the law, from what they had learned. They were Jewish. They followed the Jewish law. And yet, Jesus comes along. He's the Son of God. He said that he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. But he also talked to them a lot about loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, and all the parables that he told. And it was just such a different, fresh breath on what they had learned. And he had told them that he was the Son of God and that this crucifixion and resurrection were going to happen. Very hard for them to believe, I'm sure, because they were walking with him daily. But here he's been crucified, he's dead, and yet they still obey the Sabbath, keep the commandments that they've kept their whole time. They could have at this point said, what? Like, this whole thing has ended. What has happened? And just not kept the Sabbath, the commandments. But if that had happened, if they had come early or decided not to come to the tomb at all, we're going to see in John what Mary Magdalene would have missed. So It says that they rested according to the commandment on the Sabbath. And then in Luke chapter 24 says, on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. So interesting timing. They didn't come till the end of the Sabbath, and now they're here to prepare the body. We're going to jump over to John at this point because, as I said, he gives a bit more detail about what happens next. So in John 20, it says the same beginning. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw that the stone was already taken away from the tomb. And so she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. The reason John's has more detail is the other disciple that Jesus loved was John. And so this is his personal testimony of what happened that day. And he has more detail because he was there. It's not someone else telling him. This is what he knew to be true. So it says, she said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. So remember that Mary and the other Mary had been waiting on purpose to see what they were going to do with the body, that it was taken down, that it was wrapped in linen, where they were going to put it. She'd been watching on purpose so that when she came that morning, she would know exactly where to go, exactly which tomb it was. I'm sure she thought for a second, wait, it's dark, maybe I'm at the wrong place. But when she got there and the stone was rolled away, she went to Peter and John and said, they've taken him away, and we now we don't know where they have laid him. So Peter and John run. In fact, in verse 4, it says the two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Simon Peter, therefore, also came following him and entered the tomb, and he beheld the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb entered then also, and he saw and believed. So in verse 9 it says, as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. So they've left, they came and looked, they believe, but like he's not there. So they go home. She's standing outside the tomb and weeping. And when she looks into the tomb, it says she beheld two angels in white, sitting one at the head and one at the feet of where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. So it says she beheld two angels, but at this point she is so upset that she can't find the body and she can't prepare and anoint the body the way she was planning to do it, that she's not even like, oh my goodness, these are angels. Like she is just weeping. And when they actually speak to her, it's still the same problem that she said at first. I don't know where the body is. She doesn't even really notice that these are angels speaking to her because Jesus was her first love, and that is who she's looking for. She wants to do what she's prepared. So when she had said this, she turned around and beheld Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. She is still so consumed by this issue that she doesn't even recognize him. And in verse 15, Jesus says to her, woman, why are you weeping? The angels have already asked her. Now Jesus has asked her, and he says, whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. So she doesn't even recognize Jesus. She's still worried about her problem. She has to find Jesus. She has to anoint him and prepare him properly. And she has been crying, and she's probably still crying. And in verse 16, Jesus says to her, Mary. Now she turns and says to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. And so when she turned to him, she apparently starts holding on to him, because Jesus says to her in 17, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. So Mary Magdalene is with the other women at the grave through the whole crucifixion. She's heartbroken because her love and gratitude for Jesus has caused her to be one of the women that follow him, that help to minister to him, to wait on him. She uses her money to help when she can. And yet she is the first one who, after she stays there and waits and watches where they put the body and everybody leaves, she goes and prepares what she knows to do for anointing a body. And she is there early in the morning. Like, she has probably not slept any, just waiting to go and do this task and take care of this person that she loved so much. And so it's just so amazing that she's so caught up in that she doesn't recognize the angels, and she doesn't even recognize Jesus when he talks to her. And I love that he says her name, and I know that as he said that, she recognized not only the voice, because he'd already spoken to her. He'd already asked her, why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? And she doesn't tell by name. She says, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away. Like, she doesn't even say who she's seeking. She's just like, where have you taken him? So I love that when he says her name, she recognizes that. So, and then she goes to the disciples and says she has seen him, and she's the one who tells them that. So, and then he starts appearing to other people as well. And that really is the last time that we hear about Mary Magdalene or see her. I was going to look at one verse, because there's one other place where it talks about the women. In Acts 1 verse 14, when they're in the upper room, there's a verse that says in 14, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. So it doesn't specifically say her name there, but I love to assume that she also was in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came and visited. So Mary Magdalene, oh my goodness, like, she was just, because he touched her and healed her, and she was just so grateful to him, he revealed love to her where she had been broken and unable to live a normal life because of whatever these demons were that just constantly harassed her and made her life unbearable. When Jesus touched her and healed her from that, she was eternally grateful, and she loved him in return. She also stayed through his death and resurrection, which I just can't even imagine the grief of someone watching someone you love that much die that kind of a death. And yet she waited. So she was a witness to his death, the crucifixion on the cross, all of the prophecies and miracles that came to pass because of staying there and watching. She was a witness to all of that, and she still waited. She waited and watched what they did with his body. She waited and watched them put him in a newly hewn tomb, which was also the fulfillment of a prophecy. She was just so aware of the grace that she had been granted from him. And then she was the first one to get to speak to him after his resurrection. It wasn't even the disciples. It wasn't his family. She was ready. She was prepared. She was there. She was waiting. And because of that, she was obedient to the commandment to keep the Sabbath and wait and come when she was supposed, when she could. And because of that, because of the timing, because of all of that, she was the first one. And he sent the angels to speak to her. She got to speak to angels right after he had risen. And then he spoke to her and called her by name. And she actually hugged him because he said, stop, and that he needed to go to the Father. So what an amazing event for Mary Magdalene to get to be the first one that talked to Jesus after his resurrection. I just love this story of her life, starting really in, you know, Luke 8, where he first touches her. We don't see her a lot. We just know that she was faithful, that she was followed, that she was grateful, and that she stayed through all four Gospels here at the end and witnessed the resurrection. Beautiful story. So, you know, I would just say at the end of this, it's just comparing that to our life. You know, when we've been forgiven much, when we've been delivered from much, when we've been healed from much, and we know not only the power of God in our lives, but the love of Jesus Christ, that he didn't, yes, he died for everyone. John 3:16 says, you know, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Like, what a beautiful verse. And, you know, it also says, greater love has no man than he lays down his life for his friends. And so she saw all of that. And when you've been forgiven and you realize the grace that has been applied to your life, then Jesus does become your first love. That is who has forgiven us, who has granted us life, who has granted us healing. And she was an example of just how much love she had for him. So I would say that, you know, the prayer would be, Lord, make us like Mary Magdalene, who just followed, not only from legalistic law, she obviously knew the law, but she didn't follow because of that. She followed him out of just pure gratitude and love for what he had done in her life. So that is the story of Mary Magdalene, and it is a beautiful story. So I hope you enjoyed it, and there will be the next one will, I think, is some other women of the Bible that will go through the Gospels and look at some of the other women that were also touched by Jesus. So thank you for joining. Have a good day.